All right, Genesis chapter 1. I'm going to lay a foundation, and then we're going to release you. And then I don't want you to miss next week. I don't know how many parts this is going to be, but I do know that this is going to make you an effective believer upon the face of the earth. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning, what? Somebody say God. I hope that that word, even just during the worship, encouraged you, because that's what I've been thinking of. He's a God of wonders. And in the beginning, he was there. So anything that tried to come to your life that brings about destruction or brings about problems, it came late because he's been there since the beginning. And he ain't going to change. That situation must change. Can you say amen? Amen. Did I break the stage? I see that I'm not moving, so I just want to make sure I didn't break it. Alrighty. Not say, I mean, I didn't mind. But the Bible says, in the beginning, God created what? The heaven. Oh, we're moving again. The Holy Ghost is moving upon the waters. Amen. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2, the earth was without form and void. And darkness was on the face of the deep. And what? And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. I want to speak to you for the 15 minutes that I have today. Before I jump into the series, which is going to be the mission and the ministry, which we will start next week, it's important for us to understand the person of the Holy Spirit. Before we can understand his mission and his ministry and what he comes to do, we need to understand who he is. And I believe that he is one of the most misunderstood, you know, I don't want to call it, because he's not an it, and that's the thing. Third person of the Trinity, of the Godhead. The Holy Spirit is God. He's not an it. He's not a feeling. He's not an emotion. And you will feel them at times, but he's more than a feeling. He's not a that. He's not a this. He's a person. And he is as much God as Jesus is God. And for us to be effective in this hour, for us to understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit and his mission for us as believers, we need to know who he is. We need to understand him, because Jesus placed a premium on him. You know, that word, Spirit of God, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2. Even if you just start in Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, where the Bible says in the beginning God, that name of God, for those who have taught the names of God to, they would know that it is the word Elohim. It is the Hebrew name of God. And it is plural. So in actual fact, if you had to read that with Elohim considered, it would read in the beginning gods. And it points to the triune nature of God. The fact that he is three in one. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so we need to understand, because where we don't understand the Holy Spirit, where we have misunderstanding and we are insensitive to him, it will limit his action in our lives. If we misunderstand him and we are insensitive towards him, it will limit his action in our lives. I made this comment a number of times today, that the Holy Spirit is the one that brings life to our Christian experience. That without the precious Holy Spirit, we would not have Christianity, we would have a philosophy. We would have a mere book that can help us be a better person, but no life would go with it. But thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God that this is not some mere man's philosophy, but this is the power of God unto salvation. That it is not just about how to live a good life, but it is how to live a God kind of life upon the earth and inherit all that he has for us. The Holy Spirit is the one that is responsible for making the believer effective upon the earth, circumstances notwithstanding. But we need to understand him. We need to understand his person, because I believe, and my prayer is towards starting the series, and I pray that you would not miss one Sunday, is that you would become effective and you'd become dangerous in the kingdom of God. But it can only be done by his Spirit. Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6. The Bible says, and the word of the Lord came to Zerubbabel, that it is not by might, nor is it by power. That's your kind of power, our kind of power, man's power, physical, natural power. God says it's not by might, nor is it by power, but it is by my Spirit, says the Lord. So for us to be effective in our walk with God, for us to be effective upon the face of the earth, it happens by His Spirit. Can you say amen? Amen. And the Holy Spirit, I want us to lay this foundation before we even move in the journey together, because misunderstanding is what prevents His action. Misunderstanding is what causes people to put a sign to say, no tongues here, no doing this here, no doing that here. That's called misunderstanding. In order for us to know Him, it will then empower us to see Him move in and through us. It would cause for glorious manifestation, because the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is not to bring about confusion, but it is to verify the glory of the good news. Do you understand that? That the person of the Holy Spirit is the one that makes Jesus real to us. Jesus came to reveal the Father. He said, if you have seen me, you have seen who? He said, you've seen the Father. Philip, how long have I been with you? If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Well, the Holy Spirit comes to reveal Jesus to us. That's how you know when somebody has the Holy Spirit. That's how you know somebody is ministering by the Spirit, because it is always glorifying and revealing Jesus. Anytime somebody says that they're operating by the gifts of the Holy Ghost, but it brings about their glory and not Jesus's glory, it is not of the Holy Spirit. In case you didn't know, a devil can also give you a word of knowledge. So just because somebody gives you a word of knowledge and they're accurate doesn't mean that it's the Spirit of God. There are ministers. I dare to call them ministers, and I must be very careful because I'm a young minister. Yet I believe what Paul said to Timothy, that we should be examples of our faith even though we're young. But you are to test the Spirit. Just because they can give you a word of knowledge that is accurate doesn't mean it's the Spirit of God. There is a spirit called the spirit of divination, which is a devil. And it can give somebody pinpoint accuracy. And if you are not spiritual, if you are not grounded in the Word of God, you will begin to think that this is God, and it leads to destruction. This is why we don't chase manifestation. I've told you many times, manifestation is not an indication of maturity. The Corinthians had massive manifestation of all the gifts of the Spirit. Yet there was strife, envy. A boy was sleeping with his mother. All of these things were taking place. So it's not an indication of maturity. Don't chase manifestation. Look to Him. Look to the Holy Spirit. The girl with the spirit of divination. She walked behind Paul and said, these are men. They are here to tell you how you must be saved. The Bible says this girl who had a spirit of divination, she was a fortune teller and she brought her masters much gain. That's what I told you before. I've ministered on it so many times. How do you know if somebody has the spirit of God or a spirit of divination? The spirit of God upon an individual seeks to give and to glorify Jesus. One with a spirit of divination seeks to gain and glorify themselves. These are deep things of the Spirit we must understand. Because there are people that are deceived in this hour. And you need to decide for yourself that I won't be moved by every wind of doctrine. I'll be founded in the Bible, in the Word of God, and I will know the Holy Spirit. That's how come when you cultivate a relationship and fellowship with the Holy Spirit, you can get around somebody or you can even watch somebody. And just because they have a big following, just because they have a lot of things that seem like accuracy, when you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit and you see it, everything on the inside of you is unsettled. That is called discernment. So just because somebody can give you a word and it's accurate doesn't mean that it's God. We must be very careful in this hour. We need to be people of knowledge, of understanding, being grounded in the Word of God, but also we need to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to work in partnership with us. Or rather, should I say, so that we can work in partnership with Him. You know what partnership with the Holy Spirit looks like? It looks like Peter walking and his shadow cast on the floor, that people would even try and get so that they could touch his shadow, so that they might be healed, so that they might be delivered. That's called working in partnership with the Holy Spirit. It ain't you. It is the Holy Ghost in you doing the work. But before you can have this level of partnership, there is a price called fellowship. And I don't dare to say it's a price, but it will cost you time in the secret place where you be before Him and you commune with the Holy Spirit. For us to have access to partnership, there must first be fellowship. and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. He desires to know you. He wants you to yield to Him. He wants you to learn of Him so that you can work with Him. Because He comes, it is to our advantage, Jesus said. Jesus said this. He said, it's to your advantage that I go, because else He will not come. It is better for you that I go. Because Jesus, listen to me carefully, don't be distracted. You know, people have 6 out of the 7 days to distract you. But I love how it always has to happen in the middle of church. It's an attack against your destiny. You think it's just, I've taught you, when the devil attacks, attack back. Answer the phone, tell them, Hela, I'm in church. You have 6 days to call me, but you must call me now. That is just a joke. Jesus said, it is to your advantage that I go, because else He will not come. Jesus, and I say, I'm careful to use this terminology, but those of you who would understand, or those at a certain level would understand it. I'm not saying Jesus is limited, but Jesus was limited to where His hand could reach to a degree. I understand the example. He could send the word and the person was healed. But people had to get to Jesus. He was limited by His geographical location. That's why He said, I need to go. It is to your advantage that I leave, because else He will not come. And in case you didn't know, the Holy Ghost comes to make you like Jesus. That's not blasphemous. That's why He's here. He's here to conform us to the image of Christ. So, let me just hit this quickly. Just because you pray in tongues doesn't mean you have the Holy Ghost. It is an initial evidence. Believe me, I believe that. Let me make that very clear. I believe that the evidence of being infilled, saturated in the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the evidence that the Bible would teach in the book, in the New Testament, in the epistles and in the book of Acts, is that of tongues. It was an indication that you had been filled. But there are people that say they are filled with the Holy Ghost because they speak in tongues, but you lie in English. You shaka brokoto, and then you curse it at the person after church. You're filled with something else. Because hear me this morning, and hear me very clearly. It is the initial evidence that you are saturated, filled with the Holy Ghost, is tongues. It is the evidence. It is the initial evidence. But also what works with it is the manifestation of the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. So if you can shaka broko talikata, but you don't love, the only person that you are fooling is yourself. That's what gives what they would call the charismatic or the Pentecostal movement a bad rap, because there's everybody blasting off in tongues, but their lives are not conformed to the image of Christ. The only person you are fooling is yourself. So by no means am I placing a side thing on tongues. In this church, we will pray in the Holy Ghost and we do it unapologetically. We understand in order. A church service should be in order. We understand all of those things. But as well as a believer who says that I'm filled with the person of the Holy Spirit, I'm saturated with Him, there should be the evidence of tongues to say that you're filled, but there should be manifestation of the fruits of the Spirit to also authenticate that you're filled. Christians should be the best people in the work areas. And if you're not, you better ask yourself, what am I filled with? Because there are many that have given Christianity the worst name because they're the laziest people at the workplace. You don't have the Holy Ghost. Oh, Jesus. Pastor, now what are you doing? Don't you know I brought somebody to church today? Why? Why? There's already been a whole move for 2 hours and now this. You see, because I'm just going to say it how it is. I'm going to tell you the truth so that it can transform us. So that we can be conformed to the image of Christ. So that, yes, we can pray in our heavenly tongue. Yes, we can be edified personally. Yes, there can be interpretation when a word is given in tongues so that the church might be edified, which is equal to prophecy, the Bible would teach. But just as much as I can pray in the Holy Ghost and fellowship with the Holy Spirit, I can love my neighbor. I can love my wife. I can love my children. I can have joy. I can walk in long suffering. I don't just, at the sight of anything, just go off and I'm just angry and hate everybody. The fruits of the Spirit should be in manifestation if you are saturated with the Spirit. The flesh gives life to all of these things and it leads to death. But the Spirit, these are important things for us to recognize. Everybody say the person of the Holy Spirit. I'll close with this scripture, John 16. It's dangerous today. If I don't close now, you will be here tonight. That's why we're opening up another service every Wednesday. There's many people that can't come to church because of certain reasons. Wednesday night, we're going to have a move of God. Remember, that starts only on the 30th. If you come this Wednesday, the doors will be closed. Let me just illustrate this. John chapter 16 and verse 13. Or let me rather start reading at verse 7. I'll go from verse 7, and then from verse 7, I'll jump down to verse 13. Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper." Somebody say this. I don't need help. I'm helped of God. Do you understand that? Stop looking to the arm of flesh. You are helped of God. I said you're helped of God. I said you're helped of God. "It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." Down to verse 13. Verse 13, Jesus said, "However, when he, he didn't say it, when it comes." The Holy Spirit is a person. He needs to be treated as a person. He is God. He's not just a side thing. He is as much part of the triune nature of God and part of the Godhead as Jesus, God the Son, is. It is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He should be treated as such. And God says the following. He says, Jesus says, "However, when he," someone say he, "the Spirit of truth has come," he, somebody say he, "will guide you into all truth. For he," somebody say he, "will not speak on his," someone say his, "own authority, but whatever he," somebody say he, "hears," somebody say he, "he will speak." Okay, I'll stop there. And he, someone's going to get the joy if we continue with a he. And we already know all the persecution that brings us. That church is nuts. "He will tell you." Hallelujah. Now behave, everybody. "He will tell you things to come." Verse 14, "He will glorify" who? Me. Jesus said the Holy Spirit would come and he would glorify me. The person of the Holy Spirit comes to reveal Jesus to the people of Jesus. He comes to reveal Christ unto us. I'm going to teach throughout this series, all revelation is there to reveal Jesus unto us. If it is not revealing the Christ, it is a revelation that is of the devil. And there's nothing new under the sun. So in actual fact, our terminology should not be this is a new revelation. There's nothing new under the sun, but rather a fresh revelation for myself. Does that make sense? "He will tell you things to come. He will glorify me and will take of what is mine and declare it to you." Family, this is what we're going to be getting into. That is the person of the Holy Spirit. Jesus placed absolute priority on the fact that the Spirit of God had to come. He told his disciples that had been with him his whole ministry. And he said, "Tarry in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high." Jesus said in John chapter 14, he said, "I would not leave you as alone as orphans, but he that is with you, he will soon be" where? "In you." The Holy Spirit is the vital ingredient for the believer. That's you and me. Not just for a fivefold minister. For before we are a fivefold gift, you are a believer. As much as you'll stand before God, I will stand, hello, I'll stand before God. The little boy's waving to me. I mean, some of you, some of you are looking at me like this. So it helps me when I get like someone's like. The Holy Spirit is so important. And I can still sense his mighty presence here today. And he comes to make you effective. He comes to bring life to your Christian experience. And this would not be some dead theology or some dead philosophy. that it would just be mere words. No, it is the very word of God, the counsel of God, the closed canon of scripture, but coming alive on the inside of you. Because in case you didn't know, the Holy Spirit is the one who authored it. All scripture is God breathed. That word in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, the Spirit of God was upon the face of the waters, is the word Ruach Elohim. It speaks of the breath of God. It speaks of the wind of God. It is the wind that came into the room in Acts chapter 2 like a mighty rushing wind. And it settled upon each of them. Thank God that the Holy Ghost and the presence of God doesn't just dwell in some small little box any longer. But know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. But for the Spirit of God to dwell on the inside of you, you must be a believer. Because for new wine, it demands new wineskin. If somebody from the USA brings one of their hair dryer that comes from a certain power source and comes to South Africa and just buys the plug that converts the kind of plug but doesn't convert the power, that woman is going to expect that she's going to blow dry her hair and say she's going to fry her hair because she's going to plug it into our ampage and switch that baby on. And as she pulls the trigger, instead of hot air, it's going to be hot fire that's going to come through that thing. Why? The power was too much. Without new wineskin, the wine would burst and be spoiled. God cannot put new wine in an old wineskin. This is why when Peter preached the word, and what I'm going to do next week, Sunday, I'm going to get into the five ministries of the Holy Spirit. And one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit is the ministry of conviction. That it's not my job to be here to convict your heart. When I give an altar call and I stand on the stage, too many ministers, they think it's because of a good job that they did. You are a fool. There's been times where I've been on a stage, and I won't say this one, because thank God for maturing in the faith. I preached the best word I've ever preached. I gave an altar call. Nobody came to the front. And it's almost like God just said, you see, you did a good job by yourself, didn't you? There's been times, ask my wife, where I feel like I absolutely did the most horrible job under the sun. That I'm sure everybody in this church is thinking, you see, I knew this young guy could not do this. But I give the altar call, and it's packed. And it's like the Holy Ghost, then, you know, we can work well together, can't we? It is not my job to sit here and convict your heart. You know exactly where you are. You know exactly what you're facing. When you're crying at home, nobody can see you. The Lord can see you. Amen. But what I want you to hear today is the person of the Holy Spirit. He comes to fill the believer. Yes. But his first ministry is actually a ministry to unbelievers. It's the ministry of conviction. To a degree, it is still in operation for the believer, which I will get into next week. But the ministry of the Holy Spirit, it convicts the heart of man. It lets you know, hey, you're not that okay. You need to get to the altar. Your bank account might be full, but your life is empty. It is the Holy Ghost, the ministry of the Spirit of God, that pierces the heart of man. Acts chapter 2. You know, the Bible says, while I'm on it, the Bible says in John chapter 16, verse 8, and he will come to convict who? The world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. He comes to convict the world. Peter preaching. I mean, look at Peter before he had the Holy Ghost and after he had the Holy Ghost. It's two different people. Because one, without the Holy Spirit, you're lost. Without the helper, you're helpless. That's a good quote to post on social media today. Without the helper, I'm helpless. But thank God, I'm helped of God. How can we think we can do ministry? How can we think we can do life? How can we think I can raise my child without the Holy Ghost? How can I think that I can do business without the Holy Spirit? You're just setting yourself at a disadvantage. He knows all things and he'll tell you of the things to come. But the Holy Spirit comes to convict the heart of people. Peter, in Acts chapter 2, I was saying to Pastor Bunde before the service, Peter stands up, now filled with the Holy Spirit, and begins to deliver the word of the Lord to all of these people who mocked him. So get used to people mocking you. What took place here today, there will be people that will be watching online and maybe some of them in the venue, they'll mock it. They said, these people look like they are drunk. And Peter, who now was saturated with the person of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit and all the other ministries, which I'm going to get into. So if you miss next week Sunday, I'm sorry. But he gets up and says, these men are not drunk as you suppose, but this is that which was prophesied by the prophet Joel. In the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And he begins to prophesy. He begins to take the word of God, and he begins to preach the word of God to them. And the Bible says this, and the word pierced them. And I was saying to Pastor Bunde, in my opinion, it wasn't the most excellence of speech kind of sermon. It was simple and bland. But yet, because the Holy Ghost was on it, it pierced the heart of man. As I'm sitting here today, the fact that the Holy Ghost is here, I'm giving you a simple word. And the Holy Ghost is piercing people's hearts here today because you know that your life is not right. You know that things have gone pear-shaped because you've put God out. But God today, in His grace and in His mercy, is not condemning you, but He's waiting on you. I stand at the door and I knock, waiting for those who will let me in and those that will open up their heart. I will come in and dine with them, says the Lord. And so the Holy Spirit comes and He convicts the heart of man and He pierces your heart and says, it is time to get right with me, because the Bible says Peter's words, it pierced their heart and they said, brethren, what are we to do? And Peter said this, you know, most ministers, they'll say, oh no, don't feel bad. It's all right. No. Peter said, repent and turn to God. Hey man, they're like, that's some hellfire preaching. No, repent and turn to God. That means turn away from your wicked ways. Turn away from adultery. Turn away from fornication. Turn away from addiction. Turn away from abusing your spouse. Turn away from lying. Turn away from jealousy. Turn away from suicidal thoughts. Turn away what's trying to destroy you. Turn away and turn to God. Repent and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and receive the gift of who? The Holy Spirit. And Peter lets us know something very important, because you have all of these wonderful people who know the Bible so well, and they will tell you that the Holy Spirit is no longer for today. He no longer moves today. He's no longer available today. He's only for the elect. He's only for the chosen, frozen, and you're not one of them. Well, then Peter says, and He's for all of those, even afar off, as many to who the Lord would call to Himself. So the Holy Ghost is for those who will come to the end of themselves and say, God, I try to make it by myself. God, I never heard the word like this before. God, I need to get right with you. Today is my day of salvation. Today I'm getting right with you, and I want to be filled with the Spirit of God. And that's what happens at this altar. People come to the front. They respond not to a man, to his speech. They respond to the ministry of conviction that they are not right with God, that they are on their way to hell, whether they be lukewarm or never have called upon the name of Jesus before. Without Him, you're helpless. And they come to this altar and they bow their knee, not to me, but to Jesus. And we pray a prayer of repentance and we confess Jesus Christ as Lord. And at the Bible declares that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all has become new. You see, I can see you are in those sermon series, ne? He makes you a new wineskin and now the wine begins to flow. The Holy Spirit cannot be poured out upon an unbeliever. It can only be poured out upon a believer. So that's why He has the ministry of conviction. He convicts the heart of man and says, come to this altar. Nobody else might have seen you watching porn, but I saw you. And He begins to convict your heart and says, if you don't repent from that and turn to me, and I'll help you overcome it. I'll help you walk in victory over it. But if you don't, you're going to go to hell. You're going to be depressed. You're going to fall apart. He doesn't have a ministry of condemnation. He has a ministry of conviction. The devil wants to condemn you and let you know that you're a piece of junk, that you're never going to make it. You're always going to be depressed. You're always going to be broken. You're never going to be good enough. You're never going to make it up to your dad's standard because he never appreciated. That's the devil. The Holy Ghost will tell you, conviction, get to the altar, get right with God. Your Father in heaven loves you and you live up to His standard. That's called the ministry of the Spirit of God.